All right, let's go. All right, you know, Tim, I have to start with the Leafs because I'm not counting that game last night in Detroit.
Yeah, this is Sunday morning, and the Leafs won. What was it, 10-7?
I don't know what it was. It wasn't hockey, anyhow. It was more like a basketball game or a football game. Yeah. I have to tell you that hockey is a team sport. It really is a team sport. But do you know that the Leafs never had anybody? And I know I surprised you with this, Tim. They had one guy in the top 40. Well, I guess with Marner last night.
He moved up to the 20s. But even then, they're the second highest scoring team in the NHL, and they have two guys in the top 20 scoring.
That's hard to believe. It really is. And you know, they have a combination of penalty killers and power plays. They're second in the NHL. Now, that's hard to believe. You have one guy in the top 20, and of course, it's Matthews. And it shows you it's a team game.
Well, didn't you also say that's a sign of good coaching too?
Marner, Bunning, and Matthews. Of course, Matthews has got 28 goals. Between the three of them, they have 48 goals. Matthews has 28. I was looking at the goals, most goals. Gretzky's got 894 goals. I'm reading this. And Howe has 801, and Ovi has 762. And Ovi plays a tough game. He's kind of gone down a little bit now, but they've caught on to him that he's over on that side. They go over to the left side a little bit.
So do you think he'll eventually catch up?
I don't know, boy. He plays a tough game, and he plays a tough game. I mean, when he hits.
You figure, but he's probably of all those. Like, he probably plays more like Gordie Howe than anybody.
Yeah, he's as close enough to Gordie. Gordie got 170, I think, in WHA. Bunning is pretty good. What did he get fined? $2,500
$2,000 for embellishment.
$2,000 for embellishing, and he'll be like. I remember when I first started playing. There was a guy on our club, Hershey, and his name was Dunk Fisher. He was unbelievable. And the word got out. It was only six teams then in the American Hockey League. How many is there now? There must be 30-some.
Yeah.
Well, it was only six teams, and the referees got to know him. And you could do anything to him near the end of the game or end of the
So he got fined, or did he get a penalty against him?
No, he never got fined or anything like that.
But Billy Barber was maybe the first.
Well,
guy.
Billy Barber was sort of a joke. Like he'd flip his legs in the air, and they'd never call it.
I like when referees I've seen them when they call a penalty, but then they call a penalty on the other guy that had the infraction with, and for an embellishment or unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, there's a few guys
when they used to give penalties.
Well,
like
I jump from one thing to another. Bob Murray, who built a great team I shouldn't say a great team. It's a great young team.
Well, he won a Stanley Cup.
Well, yes, true, and he's always been successful. And he built a good team, young team out there. And you know what he got fired for? From what I know, is he was too rough. He used to yell at the. Yeah, imagine.
He used to yell at the staff in Anaheim. So
yeah, he wasn't nice to the staff.
So where is he now?
He is now a scout for Calgary, and you can holler at Sutter. You can holler all you want at Sutter. I don't think he'll holler.
Boy, they're still on a roll.
Imagine they get hammered 7-1.
I think I said we cursed them. We were saying, oh, they're 10-0 last podcast. Oh, they're 10-0. How great they in that night. Womp, 7-1.
7-1. They never even touched the puck.
And they had to ruin some goalie's shutout getting the one goal.
Yeah, but anyhow.
I always think that when you get one goal.
Yeah.
And they won again last night, boy.
So the whole thing with you not saying shutout, there I was listening to some guys in the States. They were talking, and the one guy said, well, the goalie hasn't got any goals scored on him. And the one guy said, the color guy says, you can't say that because, you know, you jinxed him. And he said, well, I didn't say the word. So
does that count, Dad, or not?
No, if you even mention it. Tim, tell about the time you were standing. I love that story about the kid, the young kid.
Yeah, tell us. So we were, I was at the rink. I think it was at Westwood Arena in Toronto. And I got there early, so I was watching the minor midgets. So I got there early, and there was like Pee Wee's playing. And there was a guy standing with his son and right behind the net. And you could tell the dad kind of didn't know a lot about hockey just by the way he was talking. And his son was, you know, and his son obviously was the goalie. His older son was the goalie. And the younger son was standing by his dad. So there's about 3 minutes to go in the game, and it's 2-0. And his son's got a shutout.
Yeah.
So the dad says to the little boy next to him, his son, he goes, well, it looks like, you know, I think Mark's going to get a shutout. And the little kid goes bananas. He says, Dad, you can't say that. You know you're not supposed to say that? You're not supposed to say that? And the dad got mad. And he says, that doesn't count. That's just, you can't believe in stuff like that. That's just an old wives' tale. And so the score ended up 3-2. They lost. They lost. It went bing, bing, bing. And every goal, the little kid was going, just stomping his feet and screaming and yelling at his dad. I told you, you can't say that. You can't. What's the dad going to say now, right? He's got three goals.
Yeah, well, there was a proof.
Well,
yeah.
Let me. How would you like it if you were the mother of the goalie like I was with Dell? He's in goal. He's getting he's working on a shutout, and 2 minutes to go. And one of the mothers, I can remember, Mary O'Reilly, it doesn't matter. And she says, oh, and she does, of course, she doesn't know anything about hockey. And she says, oh, Cindy, maybe Dell get a shutout. And all the parents went, oh. And I looked at her, and bing, in went a goal. And she goes, what? She didn't even know what she was saying. So, I mean, it really does. It's a curse.
So the rule is, you can say he hasn't gotten scored on. You just can't
don't even mention it.
Yeah.
Well, with Cheevers, I never had a problem with that because we get up 5-1 and you know they're going to score two because he'd fall asleep or something. He'd put on a show. He loved to put on a show.
How would he? Well, what, that he was winning.
He'd catch a puck. He'd catch a puck.
Oh, he'd embellish.
And
is that the word?
Yeah, yeah. And the puck would go in the air, and one time he put it in the air like that, he'd catch it and he'd go in the air.
I remember one time he caught it and then he was flipping it like he was flipping it.
And the guy walked by and just pow, right in the net. Boy, that was bad. You know, we're talking about the Leafs. We have to talk about the Leafs because they're doing so well. You know, you know what they're really good at? They're good at draws. And yeah, and you know who's the best guy is Tavares. I think he's number two in the league. But you know who has really got good is Matthews. Matthews in one of the games last week was 14. He won 14 and lost three. And I watch him now.
Because you have a thing about faceoffs. Remember, you always giving it to Peter McNabb about not winning faceoffs?
Well, Phil Esposito, we'll talk about him a little later. But I'm just going around the league now. Isn't it funny that the Hart, the goalies go, they look like they go to Philly to die. I mean, that's an awful thing to say.
You were right, Dad. We were talking about it the other day. Ever since Pelly Lindbergh, remember how good he was?
Yeah.
And he was a Philadelphia goalie. He was killed in a car crash and right in his prime.
Yeah.
And ever since, well, they had Hextall, the one.
Well, yeah.
But he was never that thing. And
he was a pretty good fighter, though.
He fought. Just every goalie they get just seems to die.
Yeah. Do they still have goalie coach is Hextall?
I don't know.
I
don't know how many they've had, but
it's been about, and like, even with Philly though, it's bad luck. Like, remember Perrant? The Pelly Lindbergh was killed. Remember Perrant got a stick in the eye?
Yeah, yeah. Something happens.
It's always like, it's like a curse going to Philly if you're a goalie.
Well, we talked about. The Gretzky rant, I hate to use that word rant because that's what they use of me all the time, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, so last week we talked about Tim Wormsby wrote a book called Goal and how Gretzky and his team ended a drought of gold medal hockey. It's a good book. Check it out on Amazon. And people don't remember that Canada was having a tough time at the start. Whoa. And Gretzky rallied the teams. And
he did.
And then we played that speech, but the ultimate speech was who?
Well, it was Phil Esposito. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Phil Esposito scored 63 goals and had 76 goals. 76 goals. And
yeah, he's when people talk about great goal scorers,
they never mention Phil.
They never mention him. And he was the guy that started breaking all those records.
Yeah. And well, of course, he had Bobby at back.
It's because he made it look easy.
What was the sticker when I
the
first...
The bumper sticker.
What was it?
Jesus saves, but Phil... Oh. What was it?
Espo gets the rebound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus saves, and Espo gets the rebound.
Yeah, because of Bobby from the point.
Little did I know. And I talk about Phil. He used to have funny things hanging in front of his... Yeah, he had horn and
Well, that's Italian.
Well, he was very superstitious.
Oh, was he ever. And if you touch the stick, he'd go bananas, like he had his sticks all perfect.
I think the funniest thing is you saying you went to his room one time on the road and he had conditioner in his hair. That was the first time you ever saw a guy with conditioner in his hair.
Yeah, and he had white silk pajamas.
Yeah.
White. Like white.
Gotta like it.
Well, the one thing we'll talk about Phil in the 72, but you know what I remember was... Mom and you and I were at the game, so I don't think you weren't there, Cindy, or you drove. And we had to drive. You guys were leaving right after the game. Had to go to Logan Airport.
Oh, I remember that.
And so Mom, you drove. You got in the car. It was a Cadillac. And you know how you loved your cars, right?
Oh, yeah. 76 Cadillac.
You didn't like anybody touching them.
So
actually, that was a Monte Carlo.
Was it the Monte Carlo?
Yeah, it was the Monte Carlo.
So we were parked up in the Boston Gardens, and there was a big ramp to go down the back. And so you were in the front, and you were driving, and Phil was in the front, and Bobby Orr was in the back with me and Mom. And so we had to drive down, and there was a whole group of fans waiting. So you were going to kind of like drive.
Well, I didn't know.
Kind of drive by them. And Phil goes, slow down, slow down. And Bobby goes, no, we got to get going. Slow down, slow down. Don, I'll sign an autograph. So you slowed down and Phil rolled down the window. Well, they fans saw that Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito were in the car. It was like that movie, The Omega Man, when Charlton Heston, when they were jumping on the car to get. And I remember you were yelling, get off the car, beeping the horn. And people, it was just crazy.
And I somehow we got the door open. I don't know what the hell we were doing with the door open. And people were sticking their hands in through the door.
Door, grabbing Bobby.
I never saw anything like it.
No, so you just kind of slowly put the car in drive and be careful you almost didn't run over people.
Yeah.
But we never would have got out of there.
It was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like that.
You were driving to the airport after the game. That was the thing.
Well, I never saw anything like it. Anyhow, I used to have things hanging down. Remember the long shifts? I know we've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Andy Savard used to sit on, and I said, Andy, you're never going to have children when you get married.
Yeah, because he was always up after Phil, and he had one leg over the board waiting to hop on the ice.
And Phil would never come off. I tell you, if it had been a 10-minute shift, you know, without a whistle, he'd have stayed on. I was one of the first guys, well, I thought 45 seconds or a minute was long enough. And I said, Andy, you're never going to have children when you get married. He says, how come? He says, sitting waiting for Phil to come off. And you know, it's funny thing is, he'd have a long shift. I'm not knocking him, but because he thought he was the best. Well, that's maybe.
He got 60 goals.
He got 60 goals. And you'd send a guy out, you'd send the line out, and he'd look up at the clock as if to say, can you imagine his dummy?
Oh, I remember that used to drive you crazy.
Yeah, he used to. Can you imagine?
And he was always adjusting his elbow pads while he was getting ready for the face-off.
Yeah.
Didn't you say, though, Dad, when you first got hired, somebody told you?
Yeah, somebody told McLean, and McLean told me that Bobby would never say it, that he was late for the practice. And Bobby went in and said, you know, we just got a new coach. And, you know, and really ripped him and get out there. And Bobby never said that. Somebody told McLean and McLean told me because never know that.
But somebody said, oh, Phil's a bad guy. Remember?
Yeah, I remember. Keep your eye on Phil. And the reason that he said that was because, I got to get this straight. After they got beat out by Philadelphia, he said we weren't prepared. Well, the coach is supposed to be prepared. I don't think Phil meant it that way. But... And he came to the coach and said, let's have a day off the day before. And they had a day off, I think it was the day before. But he wasn't bad. But he was absolutely great in that 72 series with the Russians.
Most people know the Summit series, but just in case they don't. So it was Canada, Russia. It was the first time they played.
Yeah,
right?
Let me jump in here. And I remember we got the first two goals, 2-0. And this is going to be a cakewalk. And I'm sitting watching with Rose, and you know, she didn't really care. And she kept kidding me all the time. And then they come back.
I know, they were scoring it up 7-3. Like, we were in shock.
Absolute shock. And I said to Rose, don't kid me on this one. Anyhow, they were having a tough time. And, you know, they went to Winnipeg with Tony O in the nets, Tony Esposito in the net. I thought he'd go with him for the rest of the time.
Yeah, because the first game was Dryden was in, Ken Dryden was in net, and they lost 7-3. And then they went to Toronto, and they won 4-1, and Tony Esposito was in net.
Yeah.
And then he played Tony in Winnipeg, and it was 3-3.
Yeah.
Then in Vancouver, they put Dryden in again, and they got hammered 5-1.
I thought they'd go with Tony O. Tony O never forgave. Well, we won't say. But anyhow.
No, because he did. Because if you look at the stats, he had a better save percentage and a better goals against average than Tretiak or Dryden.
That would have been interesting. They have Tony O and Phyllis, two brothers.
Bobby Hall said it, Cindy. What did you say?
That they would have two brothers on the same team. That's pretty.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But I remember. We were really down. Like, we in Canada were really down because the Russians, they wouldn't pass the puck, right to the end, and we never played anybody. And it was funny, they had two scouts go over and check out the goaltender, Tretiak. And he got married the night before. They saw him. So he says, you shoot from anywhere on this guy, you're going to score him.
So they lose 5-1 in Vancouver. Everybody's ripping them in the paper. Team Canada. Yeah. They got booed off the ice.
Well, they deserved it, Tim. I saw them training. I don't know what I was doing up there, but they thought it was a joke. I thought Bobby Hall said it the best, though. Good job Orr didn't play in that series because he had a bad knee again. And he says if it had been, it would never have been an eighth game. He went six straight. After the game, they lost in Vancouver. They got booed. Remember, did they ever get booed? And he had a great speech. And I think it was the greatest speech ever in the history of hockey. And Tim, you've got it, eh?
Yep, so we're going to roll it. This is in Vancouver in 1972.
For the people across Canada, we tried. We did our best. And for the people that boo us, geez, I'm really, all of us guys are really disheartened and we're disillusioned. And we're disappointed in some of the people. We cannot believe the bad press we've got, the booing we've gotten in our own buildings. And if the Russians boo their players, if the fans, Russians boo their players like some of the Canadian fans, I'm not saying all of them, some of them booed us, then I'll come back and I'll apologize to each one of the Canadians. But I don't think they will. I'm really disappointed. I am completely disappointed. I cannot believe it. Some of our guys are really, really down in the dumps. We know, we're trying. Hell, I mean, we're doing the best we can, and they got a good team, and let's face facts. But it doesn't mean that we're not giving it our 150%, because we certainly are. I'll tell you, we love, I mean, every one of us guys, 35 guys that came out and played for Team Canada, we did it because we love our country, and not for any other reason, no other reason. They can throw the money for the pension fund out the window, they can throw anything they want out the window. We came because we love Canada. And even though we play in the United States and we earn money in the United States, Canada is still our home, and that's the only reason we come. And I don't think it's fair that we should be booed.
And they came back and they won, and Phil was paid absolutely great. He was the best player after Paul Henderson. Well, Paul Henderson never...
You know what, the one thing, though, Dad, everybody talks about, you know, Canada played great and everything like that, but that had to be the biggest choke in sports with the Russians. They had to win. They had a tie or win one of three games at home with Canada on the ropes, and they couldn't do it. You know, and Tretiak did not play well, and yet somehow he's looked at this great goalie. He's in the Hall of Fame. And you go, what's the biggest choke in sports? Well, that's probably one of them right there.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's really good. So anyhow, I had him, and he was playing pretty good, but he wasn't playing like Phil for some reason. And we traded him, and
sir. The funny thing with that, though, Dad, you just get the big trade. I think, as you said, Harry Sinnen was made that big trade
and
stuff
like
that.
And a lot of guts.
But Harry just signed him to a big contract.
And you know what? He could have put in there, no trade contract, and he didn't. He never figured he'd ever get traded from Boston. And we traded him and Carol Vandenberg. And I did not want Carol. We tried to get Dallas Smith in there, but Carol Vadney. They wanted Carol Vadney. He got 20 goals when he played for California.
Yeah, and he got 20 goals when he was in New York too.
Yeah, he was a good hockey player. So we give up two. And remember the cartoon in the paper the next day. They were not happy with the trade in Boston. It had Brad Park with a bad knee, and it had John Rattel with a bad back. Both of them, you know.
Those are the two guys we traded for.
That's the guys they traded for. And Joe Zanussi, called himself the greatest spare tire.
That, ever that was funny.
Anyhow.
So, Dad, just going that Phil, or I should say that Harry worked with Emile Francis on that trade.
Emile Francis. And I said, I wanted to talk about Emile Francis because he saved my bacon. I don't know what. I often think of Emile, the cat.
The cat.
He was the first cat. And now, just to show you what he was a pretty good coach, I'm reading this now. He is a coach. He had 388 wins and 117 losses. He was GM too. Yeah. And New York Rangers in 65-67. He coached there, and he coached in St. Louis in 76-73, and he was in the playoffs 11 times, and he was pretty good. I remember in 72, he says we could beat Boston. He says, but we couldn't beat Orrin. I remember they had it on TV, and Orr going between two defensemen, just like going 90 miles an hour. He went in the Canadian Army for 3 years, and he was a sergeant, naturally. He had to be in charge. And, you know, I have to tell you the story.
Well, you should say, so you were just hired as coach of the Rochester Americans.
Well, and then
GM.
GM, too.
And you had no players.
I had no players. And Bob Clark, God love him, I said, well, how many players do we have? He says, one. I said, oh, good.
Well, I think the funny story we should tell is that, you know, you were unemployed. You just got fired from Rochester with Vancouver that owned them, and a bunch of businessmen in Rochester
eight
bought the Rochester Americans, and you were coaching high school hockey.
No, what happened was, you're right there. Bob Clark said I was unemployed. I couldn't get a job. I could not get a job, and I remember he asked me to coach the high school hockey in Pittsford.
Yeah, we talked about that, Pittsford.
Yeah.
And some of the owners, yes.
I said, well, you're not doing anything. So I said, well, he's right there. So, and I talked about Martin St. Louis, that he never coached a couple of shows ago, that he only coached his minor league team. And that's where you learn how to switch lines and everything. So, and he's doing pretty good right now, Tim.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
But anyway, so just, we'll set it up.
I'm jumping all over the place.
Right. So Bob Clark calls you up and says, you know, do you want to coach?
You know, I remember Rose was washing dishes and drying them off, I guess. And I picked up that phone. You know that phone that was there?
We had like a little French phone.
Yeah.
Like a little Victorian phone.
He said, yeah. would you like to, he says, we just bought the club and we need a, and the whole deal. You need a coach. I'm unemployed. Need a coach. I'd just been fired by Vancouver in Rochester. Do I need a coach? He said, don't you want to know how much? I said, yeah, well, how much? He said, $15,000. Everybody else, I was going to be general manager and coach.
Well, that was Mom's idea.
Well, because he hung up the phone.
Yeah, Mom said,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Mom says,
Who's the GM? And you said, I don't know. Mom says, well, why don't you be the GM?
That's right. You're right there.
I think her tagline was, you wouldn't get along with them anyway.
Yeah, he says, the only GM you'll get along with is yourself.
So same money.
So you called up. Yeah, you called up. And
I said, I'll be the general manager too. And he says, okay, same money. I said, okay. So I think the general manager and coaches, they were getting, you know, big money. So
you started, you had no players, and you were what, about a month or two into the before the play?
People have to realize, too, this was the first year of the WHA, too.
Yeah.
That's why the players were so scarce. It was because everyone was jumping, right, to the WHA for big money.
So I'll go back to what I was talking. You're absolutely right, Cindy. I'll go back to, I went to Buffalo. Buffalo gave me nothing.
With your buddy that you burnt how many Calder Cups with?
Joe
and
Crozier.
Wouldn't help you at all in
like
Buffalo.
And then I went to Boston. And Boston gave me, I think, about two players. Give me Barry Merrill.
Yeah,
he was a big, he had a bubble helmet.
I remember he was the one of the first players on Rochester. He wore a helmet. This was his
ride. He was a good-looking guy. He never wore, wore a helmet.
Wore a helmet. And a funny one, too. One of those circular ones. Yeah,
like Lanny McDonald used to wear.
Yeah, ugly.
So anyhow, I think he gave me one or two players. But Harry was pretty good. Then I went to, you could not get in to see the New York Rangers.
Because it would have been at Madison Square Garden.
No, it was in Kitchener.
Oh, Kitchener was
their training camp.
Yep.
So I thought, I can't get in. How can I get in? So I took my, I wore a suit and tie. So I took my suit off and the tie off, and I limped in. And the guards, they had guards there and everything. And they said, tough game, eh, or something like that. And I said, I'm just going. And it was early in the morning. And Emil used to take his goaltenders, all the goaltenders out, early in the morning, and he used to see me sitting way up on high in there. And I'm guessing this one, that he said, Emil said to Dennis Ball, well, see who that is there at 7:30 in the morning. I would get there at 7. And sure enough, Dennis come up and he said, boom, 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 we were talking away there and everything. And I remember I almost blew the whole thing. They had a guy named a number one draft choice. His name was Larry Sakarak. And after every goal or something, he'd look in the glass. They had glass around Kitchener, and we had screen. And I said to him, oh, I said, well, I know I'm not going to get Sakarak. He's your number one draft choice. He looks in the glass all the time. And I said, we have screen in Rochester. Didn't go over.
That's a good one.
I almost blew the whole thing. So I said, and I never did talk to Emil. It was Dennis Ball. And I said, Dennis, if you have any players left over, I sure appreciate them. And so I went back and, I left and everything like that. By call, I got a call from Dennis Ball. We're going to send you 9 players. Well, they were going to send them to the Eastern League. Better to be playing in the American League.
But that really saved your bacon because you... It was like... less than a week before training camp or something?
It was 10 days before training camp.
The owners must have just been panicking.
Well, they were. And they knew hockey. Well, a couple of them, Tom Murray and Bob Clark, knew hockey. And he said, this is not even a good senior club. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let me worry about it. And by golly, sent us 9 players.
So tell us about those players and the fact that these were the players. These were the end product of they couldn't make. Providence was the number one.
Was
their farm team that a lot of the players went to. So these were the guys that couldn't even make Providence.
Yeah, they were on their way to the Eastern League. And when they heard they were going to the American League. Yeah, American League was, it still is one of the best.
So league. I remember those games. I was so looking forward to it when our team was going to play Providence.
Well, we went into Providence.
Did you go in first?
We went in first to Providence and beat them 4-1 at Horecasi. Got a hat trick.
Now, that must have been really embarrassing for the team.
Mentioned to them, you're right, Cindy. I never mentioned to them.
You guys couldn't even make this team.
No,
they don't need motivation.
They knew.
They knew.
And we beat them 4-1.
So now they come back to Rochester, and that's when, I'm really looking forward to it.
I forget. I don't know what we did when we come back.
Oh, we won.
We did?
Oh, yeah.
But they were like wars.
Oh,
they were,
boy.
And they were fights, and it was very exciting.
Well, someday I'll tell you about the one in Rut. But I like the story that I heard later, a lot later. Larry Pulpin was coaching Providence. And evidently, you have to phone after the National Hockey League, tell what happened. So he said, "Well, we got beat 4-1." And he said, "I guess we picked the wrong players to stay." And Emil said, "We picked the wrong players. You're the guy that picked them." Yeah. And anyhow.
Yeah. So, Dad, before we wrap it up, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're an online casino and sports book. And if you sign up now and use the promo.
Canadian, too.
They're Canadian, yep. If you sign up now and use their promo Grapes, you get 10 spins on the big wheel. And if you get three of your jackets, you get big dough. They'll match your deposit up to $500, and your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25.
You know, I'm not knocking the rest of the betting guys, because there's a million out there now.
Are there ever?
Yeah, holy, and the money they must spend on television, but I'm not knocking them. They're all American.
And, or overseas. There are a lot of them are offshore.
Yeah,
right?
Offshore. And,
so that's the thing. I mean, if you're a betting person and you're going to go on the internet and all that, I mean, if you're Canadian, why wouldn't you go to a Canadian site?
So, yeah. So, Dad, we just talked about Emil Francis, as they say. He was
the guy, he was the guy that saved my bacon and sent me the nine players. He was just a little guy, too. That's why they call him the cat. But, boy, I'll tell you, he was in charge. And he was in charge in New York, too. And he was a great coach and a great general manager. And thank goodness he sent those nine players, because I don't know where I'd been.